It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
All right, we're here with a special episode of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We're going to have a very special guest, actually two very special guests. First of all, we got Rex Nelson, as of now, today, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. You know, every day he's got a different hat on, so it's kind of hard to tell what he's
got. That's my main hat, always.
That's your main hat. And we got the man, Jay Bunyard, fixing to be... he was elected and fixing to go into this Arkansas Broadcasters Hall of Fame. And what a, you know, that's just a really cool thing.
It really is. Yeah. And now I told the Rotary Club, and I want all the listeners to know this, Jay is also the great mind behind the Friday Night Network that I'm a part of on Friday nights and the Wichita Football Network. We were just on one station when Jay said, let's start putting together a little network. And the little network's gotten pretty good size now. But as far as I know, we have the largest high school sports radio network in the country and the largest college radio network for any Division II school in the country. Both ideas born right here in DeQueen. How about that?
You know, and that's why he's in the Hall of Fame,
absolutely.
And we really appreciate that. And to talk about, let's talk about Wichita, the high school, the Wichita Network for a while. Yeah, you've been doing that for like since we were in college.
Yeah, right? This will be my 42nd season. But I started in 78, so I started 47 years ago.
Right.
But I lived in Washington, D.C. for about 5 years in the 80s, and that commute would have gotten a little bit far every Saturday.
Yeah.
So I didn't do it. There's a break in there, but have came back and have done it continuously since 1990 now.
And you know, the thing about it is, you know, as we talk about, you and I were at Wichita at the same time, and you see the facilities that were there then, and you look at what they have now.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It really is. And just the quality of football. I mean, AIC always played good football, but now, you know, we've got Harding, who's won the national championship 2 years ago. We've got Wichita, who ended Harding's 25-game winning streak. So we have got literally some of the best Division II football in America right here in Arkansas. It's amazing how far these Division II schools have come from the old NAI days when we were in school.
Right. You know, when the AIC was there, I was just thinking as you were saying that, seemed like, you know, a significant percentage of the players were from Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true anymore. They're from all over the country.
Wichita is probably heavier Arkansas, actually, than any other school in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
They have their share of Texans. But Todd Knight still really likes to work those Arkansas high schools. And here's what I love about Division II. I don't know about you guys. You can comment on this. But I still follow Division I. I love all kinds of football, but I think that the transfer portal NIL money is ruining Division I football.
Yes.
And I think Division II, not that you don't have NIL, but it's very small. Not that there's not people transferring, but it's not in big numbers. Most good D2 programs still, kids come out of high school, they stay there 4 or 5 years, you get to know them. And I think that is much more the heart of what I think of as college football than what we have now at the FBS level.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100%. I think that's one thing, especially for us older guys,
yeah.
I'll say, is, you know, even the pros were that way when we were kids.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if a team drafted a player, very seldom did they ever move to another team.
Cliff Harris from here in Southwest Arkansas, grew up in Hot Springs, played at Wichita. Only played for one team his whole career. Now he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And again, now at that level, they're going somewhere new every couple of years, it seems.
Yeah, and it seems like that in Division I now,
yep,
that's what they're doing too.
I was looking at an Arkansas 2-deep the other day and saying, who are these people?
Right.
Recognized names.
Well, go ahead.
One interesting tidbit before we leave Wichita that has a local angle. DeQueen native Buddy Bob Benson, legendary coach of the Tigers, has held the record for most wins of a university head football coach in the state of Arkansas since he retired in 1995. 152 victories. By comparison, Frank Broyles, 149. But with Washita's last win last season, Todd Knight tied Coach Benson at 152 victories. So the first Washita win in the 2025 season will make Todd Knight number one. But Coach Benson will be back in the news when that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's something that's real interesting for those of us here in the Southwest quadrant of the state. So Todd Knight, when he gets that first win, will be number one on that list. Buddy Benson will be second. Frank Broyles is third. These are the winningest college coaches at an Arkansas school. Frank Broyles is third on that list. Scott Maxfield from Henderson is fourth. Sporty Carpenter from Henderson is fifth. So four of the top five are from Arkadelphia schools, Jay. How about that?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Continuing on with college football while we're on the subject, something that I find interesting, University of Arkansas is playing Arkansas State for, I guess, the first time ever.
First time ever in football.
Yeah, ever in football. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think it's historic. I'm really happy Washita opens the season that Thursday night, so that frees up my Saturday that I can go see that Arkansas State game. And if you're listening as we record this, there are still some tickets, and it's history. So I would urge you to go, because we don't know if it'll – I hope it starts happening every year, frankly, but we don't know that it'll ever happen again. So yeah. This is truly historic. And I'm telling you, with Arkansas football, you know, in recent years being in a bit of a down cycle, and, you know, with Coach Butch Jones at ASU, having been a former Tennessee head coach, he knows what it takes to beat an SEC team. I don't think that's going to be a walkover for Arkansas.
We'll get their best effort. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a walkover at all.
No.
I'm going to predict Arkansas to win, but I don't think it'll be a blowout.
So, yeah, it definitely won't be like the UAPB game.
No, this ain't UAPB.
No.
Yeah.
And I think
this
the thing about –
Division I program.
Yeah, in Arkansas State, I think you'd probably agree with me is if they won one game this year and it was that game, they'd be probably happy.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely. And they have sold a lot of tickets up there. So.
Yeah.
I know they have sold, I was told, close to 20,000 tickets. Wow. So it's going to be, it's not going to be, you know, like your typical Razorback game in War Memorial Stadium where it's all Arkansas fans. It's going to be more like, say, a Texas OU game where you've got a lot of fans from both.
Yeah. So, which brings me to another point. War Memorial Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all of the age where we think, you know, that's just where we grew up watching the
exactly.
Razorbacks mostly.
That's where the big games were played.
They were.
Seasons.
Yeah, because there weren't any lights at Fayetteville
right.
until 1989, so,
right.
Which is a long time ago now, but it wasn't that long ago. But, you know, a lot of talk about this may be the last Razorback game at War Memorial Stadium.
I'm one of those, I don't necessarily think that will be the case. I think they will find games that it makes more sense to play there. I hated it when Thanksgiving weekend was no longer LSU, because think about it, a lot of North Louisiana is closer to Little Rock than it is to Baton Rouge, mm-hmm. and that was always a sellout, always a good contingent of LSU fans. That was such a great atmosphere. But even now with the Missouri game, Thanksgiving weekend every other year when there are no students in Fayetteville, it's just dreary for that game. Nobody.
Well,
interesting point on that. The head of the War Memorial Stadium Commission is also head of the University of Arkansas.
Yeah, he's on the Arkansas Board of Trustees. Yeah, Kevin Crass, fellow Washita graduate.
Kevin Crass,
Kevin is chairman of the War Memorial Stadium Commission, but he's now on the UA Board of Trustees. And so I know he is going to push hard for future Razorback games. I have, of course, written numerous columns through the years. I think that Arkansas and Arkansas State ought to open with each other every year in Little Rock, and let's build a festival of Arkansas around it. We've got that old golf course out there, plenty of room. You could have a food festival out there. You could have stages with Arkansas music on it. It's Labor Day weekend, so a Labor Day weekend festival of Arkansas I think would be great for Arkansas, for ASU. Arkansas would probably win 9 of every 10 games, but still, it would be great to bring the state together in the center of the state. And I wish it were would happen. Unfortunately, you know, in this day and time with NIL, all that athletic directors look at is that dollar sign.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. So Hunter Yurachek, whoever replaces him as AD, is going to look at that dollar sign and say, we can make more money in Fayetteville. And I've always said Razorback football is bigger than money. It's about uniting the state. And why I think that would be a good game. But you can't let the AD make that decision because it's never going to happen if you do.
Yeah.
We will never have any more. It's got to be any more Little Rock games. It has to be a decision from the Board of Trustees who understand the bigger picture.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. I think that would be a great thing for it to do over Labor Day weekend, have that every year.
Yep, absolutely.
Be that contest.
Look at some of the teams you've been playing. You've been playing teams out of the SWAC like Alcorn. And Why wouldn't you keep that money in state? Yeah, and play Arkansas State instead of one of those teams.
That's what I'm going to say with NIL and all that stuff going on. Keep the money here.
Yeah.
You know, it's the more you're getting more money that way. But moving on a little bit, just talk a little bit about the Friday night scoreboard show. You know, I love to listen to that thing. The people that call in just make me laugh.
You know, the thing that makes me feel the best is people who come up and say, you know, you're my listening. I got people say, you know, I listen in bed. That's how because it's a slice of Arkansas, and it's people calling around from all over the state. And Jay knows this, but you know, there's some of those people, Jay, that I've never actually met before, but they feel like family because you talk to them for 13 straight weeks, or at least 10 or 11 straight weeks.
Exactly.
To the playoffs. Yeah. And so they really feel like family to you. And, you know, I was actually down on the Louisiana state line eating. You know me, and you said you'd get into this. I always like to find good eating places. And there's a great place in Emerson called the Smoking Bull. You been there, Jay?
I've not.
Okay.
We'll have to try that. That's right just south of.
Oh, it's got
just
great
south of Magnolia.
On the Louisiana line.
Smoking Bull, okay.
But I was in the Smoking Bull. I mean, as far south in Arkansas as you get, I order, and the guy in the next booth walks over and says, "Are you Rex Nelson?" And you know, you always want to say, since I write newspaper columns too, who's asking him? This could be a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
And I said, "Yes, sir, I am." He said, "I recognize the voice. I listen every Friday night, every fall, in a little place like that." And that makes me feel really good.
Home of Pat Foster.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
And Jim Bailey, the great Gazette sports writer for many years, was from Emerson.
You know, that's one of the things about. You talked about it being the largest high school network, and I believe that it probably reaches every corner of the state.
Oh, absolutely. You can listen to it in all 75 counties. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jay's got over 40 stations that do the whole thing, which is pregame. They do a local broadcast, then the scoreboard. But others pick up the scoreboard, and Jay's so nice to let others pick that up. I don't think either one of us have a good count on just how many stations are on there, do we?
Just guessing 60 to 70. Yeah. The popularity of the show, stations just want to pick it up and carry it without a contract in place. So we really have no way of tracking that. But to your driving around, you know, the state, wow, they're on that.
Yeah, if we're not paying them anything. They just want it for content.
Yeah.
And hopefully they consider it good content.
Yeah. Well, it is good content. One question I have for you about it, though, is you quit before the season's over.
Well, you can't fill 2 hours anymore.
I understand.
You know, I've always said I don't have many talents, but filling airtime is one of them. But Jay can tell you, by the time you get to that second week of the playoffs, even by then, which is our last show, the second week of the playoffs, even by then, it's getting hard to fill 2 hours by that point.
Yeah. Well, you know, if Jay, I know what
I'm
Jay
asking,
wants
I'm
to,
asking Walter Woody what he had for lunch by that point, Jay, to fill up 2 hours.
Jay wants to fill it up with more advertising.
Oh, absolutely. Do, so.
Of course.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But great show. We appreciate that
so
much.
Fun.
And, you know, we get to listen to Washita Networks on 105.3 here now. Yeah. So we get to listen to you all year long on the Washita broadcast.
You know, my only problem at my age anymore is that, some of these Oklahoma schools just insist on playing us in the afternoon. So that makes for an awfully short night because that show runs till midnight. I get home about 12:30. And we often find ourselves pulling out at 4:30, 5 o'clock to go to Oklahoma and do an afternoon game.
Well, you got a driver, right?
No, I'm usually the one driving. I don't know why. My wife's asked the same thing. Like, you got younger guys working with you. Let them drive at this point.
Well, you know, I didn't do this at the first of the show, but I really appreciate you coming on and talking with us for a little bit.
This is always fun. This has become an August tradition now.
Yeah, I know you are worn out. Your son got married this past weekend.
Yes.
And I know how those weddings are. Those things will wear you out.
Yeah, I was thinking this morning. I drank a little extra coffee on the way over. I had a couple big cups at home before I even pulled out and put another big one in the car on the way over.
And a flat tire.
And then my tire blew out out of here.
Hey, at least Patrick changed it for you, right?
Yeah. I had the best and went and bought a new one. It was so torn up.
Man.
I'm gonna try not to hit any of those big black 18-wheeler treads coming back. They will cut up your tire.
Well, you know, we talked about food a little bit, and we talked about the Smoking Bull and Emerson.
Yeah.
And I see where as you go around, you talk about the places you eat. I'm interested in you just giving us maybe some of the what you would consider the best unknown places. You know, not that...
You know, I have been, and I talked, on the day we're taping this, talked to the Rotary Club. I was talking about the coming lithium boom down in Columbia and Lafayette County mostly. And in Miller County, there will be some also. But it is amazing. You know, Lafayette County's got one of the smallest populations, as you know, of any county in the state. How many good places I have found to eat, including catfish. So let me roll off some of my favorite catfish places, which tend to be down there. Most people know, of course, the original Burgess, which is famous at Louisville, and they have, in addition to great smoked turkey, barbecue, they've got great catfish there. But as you go on down, there is a place on the banks of Lake Erling called Bass Haven, which is just wonderful. And then just south of it, I mean literally on the Louisiana line, but in Arkansas, is the Lake Erling Store and Cafe. And what I love about it, you can't get any more Arkansas than this. Somebody will be buying their live minnows to fish with while you're eating your catfish there. So it's a bait shop and a restaurant. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's worth the drive. Yeah. Not a bad drive for you. So the Lake Erling Store and Restaurant, that's great. And then, you go over on the banks of the Red River at Garland. A lot of people call it Garland City. Mm-hmm. Still, you've got both West Shore and Docks, which are old dinner places there. A lot of people from Texarkana, drive over there. That's five good catfish places I just named in that one little area of South Arkansas.
Yeah.
I think that's my catfish capital now, that area.
Well, I hadn't been to any of those, so I'm going to have to try those.
All right, so I put in a column. I don't remember if I mentioned this last year or not, but I put in a column how good it was eating catfish in at the Lake Erling Store and in Bass Haven. And a woman emails me, and she says, they're both good, but you missed the best one. And I said, what's that? And she said, well, they're not open for dinner, but it's got to be lunch. It is the Gin City Ag Parts and Cafe. And I thought, I've got to go there, which I did. Now, they didn't have catfish. They do plate lunches every day. but they are literally selling agricultural parts. So you have a fan belt hanging over here by you for a tractor and about four tables in there. You can't get much more Arkansas than that either, can you? Parts and cat fun.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And it's a little community, again, down near the Louisiana border called Gin City.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that you know, anything else you got? What you want to talk about?
Best steak. You talked about Red Oak at Saracen Resort.
Yeah. You know, I'm it is really good, but I'm going to go a little south of there. Taylor Steakhouse outside of Dumas. Mm-hmm. And people often list it as Dumas, but it's actually about 10 miles outside of Dumas in the middle of a soybean field. So that's pretty Arkansas, too. It's an old country store, but they age their own beef there. So you've got the glass cases of sides of beef aging like you would have in a really high-dollar Dallas steakhouse, in there. And here you are in the middle of a soybean field outside of Dumas.
Yeah.
But it's my favorite steak in the state at Taylor's.
Yeah, when we were over in Monticello last spring.
You went there?
And we did not go there. We went to Ray's
time. You got to go to Ray's.
Yeah, Ray's is an institution, but somebody told us after we didn't have time to go anymore that was a place to go. So next time we're there, we're going.
Yeah. In fact, it's funny you should say that because, you know, we've been pretty lucky winning a lot lately, but I've always said, even in our down years, I always said on the Washita crew, we don't always win, but we always eat well. I think that's one of your mottos too, JL.
Yep, it is.
Yeah, we're always going to eat well. And so I was looking at the schedule and the times, and I thought, 2 o'clock kickoff in Monticello, that is perfect. We get there. We go in there at 1. I need to be there about 11:30, but we can be at Ray's at 11 o'clock when they're opening, and we can have lunch there, and then an afternoon game. We're off there, plenty of time to have dinner there, too. So we're going to do a double Ray's this year.
There you go.
Yeah, I've already emailed that to my crew. It's going to be a double Ray's day in Monticello.
Yep.
Can't get any better than that.
No.
Hopefully the game in between will be good, but I know the two meals will be good.
Next thing I want to talk to you a little bit about was a guy that we both knew. You knew him a lot better than I did, that just passed away at 95. And just the impact he had, and it just goes to show you that you don't have to be from a humongous place to have a tremendous impact. Bill Vining.
Bill Vining was one of my neighbors growing up in Arkadelphia, and it wasn't until much later in life I realized that he was recognized as one of the top innovators in the game. Grady Bean, who grew up in Mamity and played at Henderson and was later head basketball coach at Henderson, just put, after Coach Vining died yesterday, actually, as we tape this, on his Facebook page, a story about how he was looking for a graduate assistant's job. And even though he was a Henderson guy, he went to Coach Vining, and Coach Vining began making phone calls and called the likes of Dean Smith and John Wooden and referred to them by their first name when he called. He coached on international tours where Magic Johnson played for him, where Larry Bird played for him. But he decided to stay in Arkansas all those years, and no coach ever won more games at a single Arkansas school than Bill Vining. So you got Washita 1 and 2 in football and 1 in basketball. Now, I'll add an asterisk there. If you add Arkansas schools together, Don Dyer, between Henderson and UCA, would be first, Vining would be second. But at one school, Bill Vining won 555 games at Washita over the course of his career.
Man. And if I'm not mistaken, was he not on the Olympic staff in 1972? Was it 72? Do you know?
Yes, I believe, and he was always part of the Olympic trials every 4 years.
Yeah.
And so just internationally recognized, but he was just Coach Vining to me, the guy that lived down the street.
Yeah,
and then you get older, and you realize this guy really was famous in the game of basketball. Now, let me put, because I was doing a little math in my head, five 55 wins together. Obviously, he coached longer than this, but you would have to go 28-0 for 20 straight seasons to get to that win total.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He coached a long time. Yeah, didn't
so not,
he?
not many basketball coaches at any level have won over 500 games at the same school.
Yeah. And just an amazing human being.
Absolutely.
And the thing about it is, you know, they talk about, a lot of times they talk about how great athletes kids are and they're even a better person.
Yep.
That's what you can say about Coach Bill Vining and his coaching. He was a great coach, but he was an even better person.
Yeah, and I've got to tell you a funny story about him. You know, they referred to him as the deacon, and I went to First Baptist Church in Arkadelphia with him where he was a deacon. But that was kind of his nickname around the AIC. And on the night that we inducted the late W.T. Watson, great Southern Arkansas University head basketball coach in Magnolia, into the Hall of Fame, I would always walk out when I was on the board, one of the AIC guys, because I grew up with the AIC. So I said, I'll take Coach Watson tonight. So we're waiting backstage, ready to go out for him to be inducted in the Hall of Fame. And he knew how close I was to Coach Vining. And he said, let me tell you a story about the deacon. Said, we were after the same kid, and he was really good. And he was in a single-parent family. So I knew the key was to get Mama on my side. Mm-hmm. And said, Mama was a great cook. So we both went there. Said, apparently Coach Vining had been numerous times. So he said, I go there. And he said, we're just about to start to eat. Mama puts the plate down. He says, it looks good. And then she sits there and stares at me. And I finally said, yes, ma'am. And she says, well, that other one, meaning Bill Vining, that other one says a prayer and does a little devotional before we eat each time. And Coach Watson said, if the deacon was not only doing a prayer but also a little devotional, I knew I didn't have a chance with that kid. And sure enough, he went to Washita. I just think that's a great story.
Yeah,
a prayer and a little devotional.
You got to give Mama, right?
Yeah,
exactly. That does that. But, you know, another thing that you do, other than your regular job, is you MC all the Little Rock Touchdown Club meetings, right?
Yeah, I do. What I do basically, David Basil is still the runs that club, but I do a wrap up of all the games involving Arkansas colleges the previous weekend. So okay. I don't have anything to do these early weeks in August, but starting in 2 weeks, I'll have a wrap up every week, and I've done that since the club was founded more than 20 years ago.
Well, I mean, that's an outstanding institution. I know we don't have a whole lot of time to get there. Usually have it on Mondays, and we got Rotary.
But I
almost considered skipping some Rotary meetings for some of the people y'all got coming.
You know, we have had numerous speakers tell us, not just one, but I'm talking numerous well-known speakers tell us, you are the top football club in America. And I, you know, as a native Arkansan like you guys, I always take pride in things where I say we punch above our weight level.
Mm-hmm.
And to have the best football club in America right here in Arkansas, I take a lot of pride in that, too, kind of like the radio networks.
Yep. Yeah. And speaking of that, which goes on to the next thing, weekend or so ago, you and Jay was there, Jacob was there at the baseball weekend up in Hot Springs, and you were MC there, right?
Yes. It's a great honor. I get to interview all of the players, and we're talking big names. We're talking Johnny Bench. We're talking Fergie Jenkins. We're talking big names. I've got to tell you a funny story. So only about half kiddingly, I told my son, you mentioned that wedding. I said, look, baseball day this year, when he told me they were looking at a late summer wedding, baseball day is August the 9th. College football starts August the 30th. That doesn't leave you a very big window to have that wedding in if you want me there. He took me seriously, and it was August 16th. So bless his heart, he fit the wedding in.
Yeah.
Bless Mallory's heart for agreeing with that. So I didn't have to miss baseball day, and I didn't have to miss. But, Jay, you can verify this. Steve Arison, our friend at the Hot Springs Convention and Visitors Bureau, has built that into a really big deal that draws people from multiple states now that come to Hot Springs.
They came from surrounding states to see the great Johnny Bench last weekend. And it was interesting this year because they tied in the Babe Ruth 14 and under tournament, which attracted teams from Nigeria, just all over the world, to coincide with baseball weekend. In fact, the Stars went out throughout the first pitch on Friday at that event. But Rex does a superb job of emceeing that every year. He survived the Spaceman Bill Lee this year.
That's just trying to keep it between the ditches with him. But I had practice with Goose Gossage in the past, as you know, Jay, because Goose is about the same as the Spaceman.
You're exactly right.
They're both from outer space. I'll put it that way.
You get Goose started on George Brett.
And,
you got to watch the four-letter words pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But it's a great time, and I would encourage everyone to put that on your calendar. It's always in August, but not only the Stars that come in, and Steve Arison's going to do it one more year. He's going to retire, and boy, it's going to be a great loss for the Visit Hot Springs group. He does such a wonderful job, but he's going to do it for one more year. They've got a baseball card show with probably 50 to 75 tables set out in the foyer. There's just something for everyone to do. First 125 in the auditorium for each speaker gets an autographed 8x10 photo. So it's just an incredible event.
I have to tell you a little story, and Jay was at both of them, but this is the second straight year we've had bench. So last year in advance, Steve Arison says, now, bench has got a reputation as being very prickly with interviewers when it comes to interviews. Well, and it's a whole hour. It's not a short interview. It's a whole hour that I interview these players. Well, coming into this year, it made me feel good. Steve calls and says, Bench said he liked you because you fired right back at him and didn't take anything. He likes that, you know, playing. He fires at you, you fired right back. He wanted to make sure you did it again. And Jay's dealt with him backstage, so he knows what we mean by that. He actually asked for me this year.
Well, how about that? What an honor. Yeah, he and I got into some spirited conversations last year as well as this year. But I got tickled at Bench because usually he just grabs the microphone and takes off. And after about talking for 15 minutes, he looks over to Rex and he says, do you have any questions?
Yeah, are you going to ask a question or what? You going to ask a question or what? And Jay and I can both tell you, if you ever do run in to Johnny Bench, don't ask him if Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. He feels very strongly no on that, even though they were teammates for very many
years. I think that's what y'all got into it about, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. He asked, the first thing he did is ask me what I thought.
Yeah.
And I thought, I was a fan of Charlie Hustle. And, great player, all-time hit leader. And so he looks at me, he says, so you're going to go home and tell your son that it's okay to break the rules?
And
Jay's speechless.
That's a rare moment.
Yeah.
Bench refers to Rose as a business partner.
Yeah.
On the field.
Yeah.
Not a friend, but a business partner on the field.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But
I could see where a lot of people and even teammates probably wouldn't like him.
Well, I mean, think about it. I mean, betting has always been the golden rule in sports. You don't break it.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't bet because the integrity of the game is everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if a fan base thinks a game's fixed, why watch? Literally, you'll kill the sport.
Yeah.
So that is more important than anything. Mm-hmm. That you know there's integrity there and there's no players out there who are trying to throw the game.
And before we leave Hot Springs, I did want to mention that baseball trail that they have there. Of course, back in the early 1900s, spring training was held in Hot Springs because of the thermal baths. I mean, we're talking Babe Ruth, Ty Cobb, Honus Wagner, all the greats of the game came to Hot Springs every February for spring training. And you can pick up one of those maps there at the Visit Hot Springs offices and take the trip around town and see where Babe Ruth, a 600-foot home run, I'm told.
Yep.
You know, there in the 1920s. See where he hit that. I believe the home plate is still there.
It absolutely is.
Hit it over there to the alligator farm.
He did. And if you stand on that home plate location, which is in the warehouse or parking lot there, you realize just how far that is. It's a great trail. It's got you know, you can take your phone and scan a Q code and listen to audio actually at every stop.
And of course they did. Rex had a chance to play a role in the film. I'm trying to think of the gentleman at the U of A, Larry Foley.
Larry Foley's documentary, yeah, which is shown on the MLB Network. It's been shown all over the nation.
Well, Rex had on his little 1920s hat out there, and he was like the PA announcer at the stadium. Of course, back then it was on a bullhorn.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Which worked well for Rex.
It was a megaphone.
Yeah. How would you like to do that today?
Oh, just scream.
But, you know, and one of the things, we talked about food a little bit. You know, as you walk down that trail, there are a lot of good places to eat downtown Hot Springs,
too. Absolutely.
You know, my favorite, DeLuca's.
Oh, I love DeLuca's. Yeah. In fact, I was walking to dinner, not to DeLuca's, but to a place right down the street from it, and somebody blows the horn at me real loud, and I thought, who on earth? And it was Tony Valinotti that owns DeLuca's. He's quite a character that I saw on baseball day there.
He really is. But glad y'all, we got a couple of interviews that Jay got for us, and we're gonna play those on this podcast
Wonderful. Yeah, it's a great day, always.
So now what we're gonna do is, if it's okay with you, is talk a little bit about football.
Yes, sir.
And I think what we want to do is just limit it to 5A and 4A, since that's basically our coverage area. It's going to be quite a bit of it. You know, when you look at 5A, you know, and I'm looking at Hootens here, as you are also, you know, Little Rock Parkview back there.
It's even losing their head coach because they're picking up a great head coach, being the ex-head coach's brother. Now, if that's confusing, we're talking about the Boulding brothers, of course. And Brad has left Parkview to go back to North Little Rock. This is confusing, but follow along. Go back to North Little Rock, which had once fired him. And then they decide they want him back now. And Bobby, who had gone to Parkview after a highly successful career as a head coach, he just didn't want all that comes with being a head coach anymore. So he went back there as a coordinator and won a couple of state championships with his brother. But they begged Bobby stay at Parkview, and he did. So I can't disagree with that pick. I see no fall off at all at Parkview going from Brad Boulding to Bobby Boulding.
Well, you've got free agency in high school football nowadays.
That's a good point.
And, you know, the outstanding linebacker, Ja'Cory Smith is his name, committed to Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. You know, he switched to Bryant. A lot of the Parkview kids followed the Boulding brother to North Little Rock. So possibly a little fall off from what we've seen the past couple of years. But, you know, we might have been competitive with their third or fourth team last year. So, you know, they're still going to be really, really good.
Yeah. Jay, the only good thing about having to play them, you get to be in the War Memorial press box once every other year.
Yeah, that's right.
Because both them and Catholic play all of their home games now at War Memorial. So when they're both home, one will play on a Thursday night, the other will play on a Friday.
Well, they come to DeQueen this year. And don't you know they're excited to make that trip from Little Rock to DeQueen?
Just don't run over anything in the road. My advice after today.
Well, Jay's bad luck on that because I had a flat with him one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not just a flat. I bought a whole new tire today.
Well, I couldn't get a tire. I had to plug it. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I taught them a thing or two.
Yeah.
Now, they were wondering what I was doing.
Yeah. So, yeah.
My
wife, of course, y'all know it's not like there's any log trucks or anything on that road. And my wife said, well, why didn't you swerve and miss that big piece of black tire? And I said, because there was a log truck coming the other way. Yeah. It really wasn't much of an option at that point.
That's right. But, you know, one the thing that sold me on Parkview being number one again was I think if Bobby stayed there, he knew what they had coming.
Oh,
back.
He
would have went somewhere if he thought.
Oh, I agree. He knows they're going to be good. So it is really hard to pick against them. Now, a couple I like up here that I see that I think can compete with them. Farmington, That area is growing unbelievably in Northwest Arkansas now. You know, it's spread out from the big four. It's not just Fayetteville, Springdale, Bentonville, and Rogers anymore. You got places like Centerton and Pea Ridge and Farmington just exploding. You go to Farmington, it's just rooftops as far as you can see.
Tommy Tice, too.
Yeah, and Tommy Tice, a Hall of Famer, came out of retirement. So
they got the free agency deal going on up there, too, to a certain extent.
Exactly. And I'm glad Hooton's got them in the top five here in the south half of the state. Camden Fairview's always got athletes, we know, and they're going to be good. And I like it when they're good, because Jacobus is one of my favorite callers, too.
The Reverend.
Yeah, absolutely. He'll preach a little about the Cardinals.
Yes,
now.
He will, play by play for the scoreboard show. But don't overlook the Rams. I was a little surprised to see Hooton's had Hot Springs Lakeside picked third. You know, they've got an offensive lineman that's committed to the Razorbacks. Mm-hmm. And they play a wide open attack offensively. They'll throw it. They can run the football. They love to run that power sweep. And their defense, I mean, they just throw their ears back and come at you. So, I mean, they force a lot of negative plays on defense. Hot Springs Lakeside will be very good this year. They're not going to be in the Parkview range, but they'll be a very good come playoff time if they get on the other side of the bracket.
And I tell you a couple I think that they've got too low as I look here at 14 and 15. Pine Bluff and Harding Academy, I realize they have moved up in classification, but those programs both have such strong tradition.
Mm-hmm.
I think they will be higher than that, because kids just come up through those programs expecting to win.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
and there's something to that, believe me, at the high school level.
There really is, by the whole community.
Yeah.
You know, I think when you get in those smaller communities. And, when you look at the Queens Conference here, if I'm right, I believe there's five schools out of the eight that are in the top 20.
Wow. That's tough.
And that's tough. And, you know, and we had Steve Roberts on last year.
What a great guy.
I think it was after you were here last year. If I talked about it before, I'm sorry. But, you know, we were talking to him about some things you might could do. And, you know, and we were thinking, and, you know, it's going to change a little bit. But you go, let's have, instead of having 4 8-team conferences in 5A, let's have 6 6-team conferences in 5A. And then that gives you 5 non-conference games.
Yeah.
So a team, you know, because when you get down, you know, and the Queen's been one of them, and Horatio's been one, and Foreman probably, I think, maybe the longest losing streak in the state now. But all three of those teams have had it at one time.
Yeah.
You know, if you got 5 non-conference games, that gives you enough games to build something, even if you're getting – which we've been through a lot of mercy rules.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his answer is that, well, how would Greenwood schedule games?
Yeah, yeah.
And my who cares? You know, I mean, Greenwood can go wherever they want to and play.
Go out of state, play people.
And I understand for teams that are dominant, that might be an issue. But, you know, you still, you know, somehow you got to get some equality there,
mm-hmm.
because when you get where we're at and you look at, you know, with the podcast that we do and the 8 schools we do, you know, like, you know, we talk about it with the Queen, with Horatio, you know, they talk about they're in 3A. And they basically say they got a 2A squad, which is probably true.
Yeah.
And, you know, in all these schools, you know, you go to Arkadelphia, you know, there's probably 100 kids out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in
there
four,
will be.
There,
yeah.
Yeah, there's 4A. I talked to Coach Bell here, 5A. We had 40 out.
Wow.
Makes a difference. Well, it's just hard. You know, when you go to Camden Fairview or you go to Parkview or you go to Hot Springs Lakeside or Hot Springs or even Magnolia, I mean, they're just lined up all the way across the field there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, from one end zone to the other.
Number of people on the sideline, when you
just got those kind of numbers, it just becomes very difficult. And I think having more non-conference games would be a benefit to a lot more teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not that it's ever going to happen, but I, you know, that's just my opinion. Yeah. I just wonder what you thought about it, you know, because when you look at these schools, And I know there's some ups and downs, but there sure are a lot of schools that stay there.
There really are. I agree. And I don't think there's an easy solution for that. As you know, anybody that works at the Arkansas Activities Association can tell you there are a lot of politics involved. You know, where we set those reclassification numbers every couple of years. And so I don't think there's any easy answers. But, you know, what you've got to strive for is competitiveness. You don't want kids coming onto any team and saying we have no hope. You've got to strive the best you can to put together competitive conferences.
Well, and you know, you saw some of that happening with eight man.
Yeah.
You know, like for example, Fountain Lake, you know, they played at eight
some
man
pretty
for
good
two,
size schools, yeah.
2 years, and then they went back.
Uh-huh.
You
exactly.
Know, they've gone back now. And I don't know exactly why. I assume they say numbers, but you know, I don't know that.
Yeah.
But I do think that you know, that's something that I think is, it may be political too.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Exactly.
You know, they just don't like the conference they're in, so they go to eight man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, if I'm not mistaken, Little Rock Hall was eight man.
Mm-hmm. They were.
Which is crazy to me. When we grew up.
Coach Keppel there and C.W. Keppel. Wow, what tradition. And that was really hard to comprehend.
Yeah. But even so, I mean, it's just you got to go the way it is.
Mm.
And I know the AAA's got a really tough job. It's like you said, very political.
Very much so.
Yeah. And so, the coaches get to vote, the schools get to vote, and that's the way it goes.
Yep.
So, but, you know, let's talk about 4A for a minute. I looked at Hootens, and I'm a little bit surprised. Arkadelphia is not number one.
Yeah, I can't go with Darnell. I'm sorry. Not just because I'm from Arkadelphia, but, you know, I just don't think, and I know the Sand Lizards have been pretty good in recent years, but you look at the playoffs, they don't know speed until they start playing teams from the south half of the state.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the quality of athletes is better. And so I would have Arkadelphia up there, and if it were up to me, I would probably have Warren second with all of their tradition right now.
I'll tell you.
Arkadelphia and Warren have had some great playoff games in recent years.
Yeah, I did.
And the thing I told you all, now I said I'm not being a homer last year, but if you remember about Arkadelphia, is that they had gotten beat right at the last minute in two consecutive semifinal games. And so I said they could have been in the state finals the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So now you look and you say, well, they could have been in the state finals for three straight years now. Right. And that's the kind of athletes they're producing right now. I mean, they're just a couple of plays away from having played in three consecutive state championship games instead of one.
Yeah, and just to mention something real quickly, I know Antonio Jordan from Warren, who we got to see him baseball, and just, I mean, just look like a man among boys out there, but he's blowing up some numbers up in spring practice for the Razorbacks.
Absolutely.
He's doing really well, going to be the next great wide receiver from Warren.
Once he learns that playbook up there, that Petrino playbook, look out. Antonio Jordan is a man. A couple of dark horses in 4A. No team has more speed than Mills.
Yeah.
I mean, they can flat run. And I've been impressed with the job Elkins has done the past few years up in Northwest Arkansas.
Now, I've got to ask you, how does Coach Chesser do it back home in Nashville, since you're familiar with him?
Well, I tell you what, they're fired up over there. They had, as we are recording this, DeQueen is having their community pep rally tonight. Mm-hmm. Well, Nashville had something similar on August 8th, over 2,000 fans turned out.
Yeah.
So he's got the town excited, and they've got speed, they've got athletes.
Yeah, and so, again, tradition. Yep. Tradition.
And they play Darnell second or third game.
Oh, do they?
That's
okay.
A big game right there.
Okay, I'm telling you right now, I'm picking Nashville.
Yeah.
He's breaking in a new quarterback, DJ. I can't remember the young man's last name, but he's a dual threat type and can run, can tuck it, and run, can throw darts. Nashville will be good.
Yeah, yeah. They're always going to be fine.
I think you know, this is their third coach in 3 years.
Exactly.
Which is unusual for Nashville.
Very much so.
But I think Brad will be there for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows what it takes. You know, he won a couple of championships as a player, won one as an assistant coach there, and now he's back to. And I think he'll take them back where they want to be. You know, you look at some of these other teams, Malvern. Again,
always athletes.
Yeah, I just don't see where. I think 4A is maybe one of the most competitive conferences.
Oh, much so.
Classifications.
Oh yeah, very much so. And again, you take Malvern, Nashville, Arkadelphia. It's loaded toward this part of the state, though, and where your really, really top programs are.
Yeah,
from.
Well, and you know, that seems to be true for a lot of the classifications. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at 5A, I think if you look at from Little Rock down.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to say there's not good teams in North there, but for the most part, most of them are south of Little Rock. Mm-hmm. Parkview, and, you know, then you start talking about Hot Springs, Lakeside, Camden, Fairview, you know, just so many teams down here. And I think it's what you said earlier, the teams that play up in the north don't see the speed that teams down here have.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Rex likes to refer to that
I-30 quarter. Yeah. I mean, think about it. Think about it. You know. Leave Little Rock. You think about what Bryant does in football. You think about what Benton does in football. I mean, even little schools in between, Harmony Grove and Glen Rose, traditionally good in football. You look at what Malvern has done. You look at what Arkadelphia has done. You look at what Gurdon has done and Prescott has done. Now, Hope struggled, so I cut it off at Prescott.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, no, you look at that I-30 quarter, though. From Bryant all the way down to Prescott.
Yeah, yeah, and there's a lot of great football.
Not a bad football program along
the
quarter.
No, that's right.
And by the way, it is the University of Greenwood.
Exactly, yeah. That's been our standard on the scoreboard show for many years. We have fun with that.
Oh, yeah.
And
I bet they hate that, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. So that is always great fun. To poke at them because they're always going to be good.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about it is, and I was talking to somebody, actually, the new basketball coach at Horatio is from Greenwood.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to him and I was telling him about how, and actually talking to his grandparents, who I was talking to, and they talked about how Greenwood used to be really bad in football. And I said, you know, the same thing happened to Lake Hamilton. When we were in school, we'd go up there and play Lake Hamilton and beat them like a dog.
Yeah.
You know, but they were just a small school on the outskirts of Hot Springs, and now see what they are. And the same way with Greenwood.
Yeah.
You know, they started out as a little bitty small school that everybody was beating up on, and they just, you know, more and more people have come there and they've become a large, it's basically a bedroom community.
Exactly.
And
by the way, in addition to congratulating Jay on going into the Broadcasting Hall of Fame, one of our regulars on that scoreboard show, Leland Barclay, Greenwood made me think of him because he covers Greenwood so often, just went into the Arkansas Sportscasters and Sports Writers Hall of Fame. So congratulations to Leland. Little ad here. But Jay will verify this. Between Leland Barclay and Walter Woody, who both call in the second hour of that show every week, there's no knowledge left on the table when it comes to the history of high school football at Arkansas between those two. You know
exactly
it?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
I hear you every week about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I call him legendary Leland, and now he's the Hall of Famer. Right. So,
well, that's pretty
he'll
cool.
He'll be with us every Friday night also.
Yeah, well, that's great. Rex, I don't know. I'm pretty much
I'm good.
Talked out. You got anything else you want to talk about before we let you go?
No. I'm just glad my son got the wedding out of the way before football season started.
Well, I got to ask him about his Razorback.
Yeah, well, I got two things left to do.
Okay.
That's one. I want to hear your Razorback prediction.
I think that they're going to be around 500. I've said 5-7. Hopefully they get to 7-5 and get to a bowl game. But I think we're going to see, either way, Sam Pittman say, I'm retiring. I like Sam Pittman. You can't not like him. He's a great guy. Mm-hmm. He was basically, though, a career offensive line coach. He never expected to be an SEC head coach. So, frankly, Sam's going to be fine. He's made more money than he ever thought he would make. He's got a house he loves on the shores of Lake Hamilton. He just bought into a restaurant over there on the shores of Lake Hamilton, which tells me he may be contemplating retirement. So my prediction, and I could be very wrong, is that he announces his retirement, and in one fell swoop, without a search, they announce that Bobby Petrino moves up into his old job.
Boy, that'll, head coach that'll stir everything back. Up,
yeah,
won't it?
Yeah, and it all happens in one news conference. They're not even a search. But we'll see. We'll see.
That sounds good. Well, there's two. Yeah. Actually, I thought of something else I want to tell you. One thing is, We're going to have a Coy's Steakhouse restaurant here pretty soon.
Yep, yep.
I didn't know if you knew that or not.
Yes.
In the Queen.
Oh, in the Queen?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I had not heard that myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so, that is exciting.
And now, it's not the same one. It's people from here going to do it.
Oh, okay.
And the reason it's called Coy's is because it's going to be in the old Coy Wiles Conoco.
I gotcha.
I was showing
you
all of
our... Well, the old Coy's is supposed to come back in Hot Springs still. It's taking a little longer than they thought, but it's going to be in the Hotel Hot Springs, which a lot of us old-timers still think of as the Hilton, because that's what it originally was. Right. They're connected to the convention center.
Right.
I was showing him all the new car washes.
Yeah. We got plenty of those.
Did not know about a steakhouse coming in the Coy Wiles. That's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
It's exciting. I may demand dinner next year before I go home.
But the last thing I want to talk to you about, and I mentioned this to you before, is I've got a proposal that we need to put before the right people so we can make this happen. And I think you would be a great inaugural member of this. We need to have some Arkansas diamonds. We've got the only working diamond mine in the United States, you know, that you can actually go dig a diamond out of. And you know, people that have just been put Arkansas first in any different way, you know, it could be in numerous different ways. Let's just make a group of Arkansas diamonds. And if we do that, I think you'd be a great first choice.
Oh, you're too kind. Yep.
I've known you for a long time, and you probably wouldn't claim it, but I always have. So,
you're way too kind. I'm just out here trying to eat well and have a good time.
Well, you know, hey, that's what it's all about now,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Man, we really appreciate you coming on, and Jay, you too, and we look forward to talking to you soon.
All right. Thank you. Y'all have a good fall.
Thank you.